Today is Wednesday.
It's today.
Hump day.
Hump, 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 hump.
Hump day.
Look at how I can do the radio.
Radios are tuned in.
Very good radio tuning skills.
Is this a show?
And this show is great.
Crazy, this show is like crack.
Yeah, this show's awesome.
What is this freak show?
You guys must really like each other.
We're like a family.
We're like a family here.
Dysfunctional family heat intervention.
It's showtime.
Fellas, I'm ready to get up and do my thing. One, two, three, four.
Hello, good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning edition of the Mark and Kim Show on Starwater 2.1. Knoxville's number one hit music station, where Kim is already, for some reason, up and dancing. I'm not sure.
I dance every morning.
No, you actually don't.
I do.
No.
I do.
You don't.
I do.
Does she dance every morning?
No, not every morning.
Wait a minute.
Thank you.
I do for the James Brown thing.
All you have to do is be the first to ask him. Give you the answer he wants. He's the yes man, everybody. 5:57 on this Wednesday morning. 81 fun-loving degrees yesterday. It was actually hot yesterday.
I guess I just wasn't where I was. Don't wrinkle your Botoxed brow at me.
It was actually hot yesterday. I felt heat yesterday.
I had the top down on the car.
Put your shirt back on.
I had my shirt on, but I did have the top down.
It was hot. You were had wind blowing over you. You probably had the AC blowing on your cherubian face.
Because it was a cool.
It was not a cool 81.
It felt good.
I can't say anything.
No, it felt good.
She's dancing. I dance every day. No, you're not. It was hot yesterday. No, it wasn't.
I dance to James Brown every day.
You don't.
Every day, Monday through Friday.
She does a little hand motion, but she doesn't dance.
I ain't dancing.
No.
If I say it, she'll fight it. It's just. It is what it is, and I guess I should be used to it by now.
You would think.
No, you wouldn't think. Good morning. Welcome. I've mentioned it's Wednesday. I have a question. You know this probably better than I, and it's probably been explained to us before. What in the world does Kenny Chesney have against Knoxville? Have you seen the tour dates?
Yeah, he skipped Knoxville.
And feel free to jump into the text on this, and I'm sure it's been explained to us, and maybe you'll answer it.
He did come on stage with Kelsea Ballerini the other night.
Poor Kelsea.
She brought him up for...
You mean he joined her on stage?
Yeah, he came up on stage for her for the first time, and it was the first time in 22 years... that he had been up on stage in Knoxville.
Well, where was this? Where did Kelsea Ballerini perform?
Thompson Bowling Arena Food City Center.
Okay.
I don't know, it's a mouthful. But and it was a big deal that he came up for the first time performed here.
And I bring up Kenny Chesney on Starwater 2.1, obviously, because, you know,
he's a homeboy.
Who doesn't know that he's... Well, here's the question. Is he a homeboy? Truly? Yeah, you may have been born in Luttrell. Yeah, you may have gone to Gibbs.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Gibbs, both Morgan Wallen and Kenny. Damn, Gibbs. I'd like to know who, like, a high school junior can play like guitar really well at Gibbs is right.
Who's
now.
Who's the next Gibbs?
We should do like a Gibbs talent show.
Gibbs Idol.
Gibbs Idol. Dude, rock solid.
Well, Kelsey, went to Central High School.
Yeah,
and
I don't
so
care about
they were that was the thing. They were both home people.
Well, but the question is, when you see Kenny Chesney pose in like Florida helmets and stuff like that. And like, what does he have? Does somebody want to answer what he has against Knoxville? Because I'm looking at the tour dates. Tampa, Charlotte, Minneapolis, Arlington, Texas, Atlanta, Georgia, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Philly, Chicago, Milwaukee, Kansas City, Seattle, Washington, Inglewood, California, Denver, Nashville. He goes straight from Nashville to Detroit. And then East Rutherford and then Fox. What the hell, dude? I mean, we have a stadium here, right? And as a matter of fact, it's one of the biggest stadiums in America.
I thought, I could be wrong,
but
if I'm remembering correctly, I think he wanted to do a stadium tour so many years ago, 20 plus years ago,
right.
And Neyland Stadium would not let him perform in the stadium. So
he's held it against
the I don't know if that's what it is or not.
Not that I'm going to go see him in concert. I see the tour dates. I know there's been a thing in the past. I was just curious. But we thank you for the zero number of texts we've gotten about this right now. So it is what it is at 6 o'clock on the dot. Lots to do today and a whole lot to talk about. Love to hear from you at 656-7827. We'll be back on the Mark and Kim Show. Starwater 2.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station. So Kenny Chesney has not put us on the tour, but are you saying that Kenny Chesney has been on stage at Neyland before?
Yeah, he did. Because the only way that I remember that is because I'm not a country music fan, but my sister is. Mm-hmm. And so when he came, I bought tickets and went with her.
So you know for a fact that he has performed on stage in Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Kim's information was erroneous.
Told you it might be.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But yeah, it's been, I want to say within the last 10 years.
Because, okay. Well, then why did he skip us on this tour then? I wonder why.
I don't know. I'm shocked, actually. I don't know.
All right, darling. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate you.
Me. Yeah, you're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya. Yeah. Sorry about that. I got to pot you up. Sorry, what's that?
Well, it's actually been 20 years or 21 years because it says Kenny Chesney, Back Where I Come From Party, June 7th, 2003, Neyland Stadium, Knoxville, and it was a bunch of people joined him on stage, including Peyton Manning.
Yeah, 20 years, not in the last decade, so.
Well, you know how it is when you think back and you go, well, that's probably been in the last 10 years.
Yeah, nonetheless, he has been on stage at Neyland. He has done a stadium at Neyland, but not this time, so just curious. So he hasn't completely dissed us, it's just kind of dissing us. Or it's been a 20-year diss. Something happened at Neyland on the, 20 years ago. But
I don't know.
All right, we'll be back on the Mark and Kim Show here on Star 102.1. Get your morning Did You See's next. Hang on. You got the Mark and Kim Show powered by the Ooten Law Firm on Star 102.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station. Taylor Swift pulls off the unimaginable, having 13 songs in the top 10 of Billboard's Hot 100. Yeah, it's amazing.
13 in the top 10.
It's amazing how she's done it.
She's that good.
She's that good that she has 13 songs.
He thought I wouldn't hear this.
In the top 10. Well, if history is any precedent, my dear, I could say things, and then 4 minutes later, you're like, wait a minute.
Suddenly it hits me. That bell rings.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the bell rings when, say things like, oh, well, never mind. We shan't repeat. It's so much more vile coming out of my mouth than it is coming out of hers. Did you see a cake now comes with a no face smashing warning? We thought we saw warning labels on, cigarettes and alcohol and dangerous chemicals under the sink. But no. Now on cakes. You've probably seen the weddings where brides and grooms smash cakes on each other's faces. And maybe you've heard of couples smashing cakes in each other's faces as a prank. But it can be dangerous. A bakery now putting warnings on its cake boxes, letting customers know that smashing cakes in people's faces can lead to impalement. If I say impalement, you know what I'm talking about.
I'm thinking getting hit in the face.
No. What's an hold on. Are you learning a word today?
I might be.
Okay. To impale somebody or to have something has impaled me. What do you think that means?
Put an indention.
An indention. It's like dimpled. It dimpled.
Yeah.
No. Like if you climb over a spiky fence and you slip.
Okay.
And the spike goes through your face, you've been impaled.
Okay.
A sword stabbing.
Going through you.
Is an impalement. Yes. It doesn't change the color of your skin. You're not pale.
Although, not all the blood draining from you, although it could be.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
It says there's a clip in the middle of the cake board to keep the cake stable during transportation. Behavior such as traditional face smashing into the cake can result in severe injury. And so, yeah, these things now, because people don't build necessarily cakes, they build monuments.
Well, in most weddings.
Out of flour and fondant.
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 You just like to say that.
Fondant. I've been waiting all morning. Fondant. And so it's not, it's a structure. It's not a cake. It's a structure.
Most multi-level wedding cakes have those rods in them anyway to stabilize them.
So does the wedding night.
Well.
The bakery chain is called Paris Baguette.
And Paris Baguette.
Mm-hmm.
With fondant.
Yes, with fondant. And a spokesman says they've been using warnings for several years now. They say that the caution is just to reinforce safety protocols. There was a scene in the Batman movie that had Heath Ledger in it, where he does some trick. He has a pen stand on end, and then he grabs the back of somebody's head and goes, whap!
Yeah.
And slaps it right down on his face. And
one
kills,
of the best parts.
Kills. Yeah, oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. Well, you knew that Heath Ledger was the man. Like, yeah. The Joker was the man. And so, yes, like imagine that. You were, well, I was just reenacting the scene from the Batman.
Can you imagine everybody standing there watching the couple, the photographer there, and suddenly blood spurting everywhere because the cake has impaled the bride?
Yeah, and that's one of those quick Britney Spears annulments if that happens. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine so, but that's
no annulment needed if the bride's dead.
Right in the eye. Sorry about that. So, yeah, we'll be back. More Did You See's coming up next on Star 102.1.
Who's on Santa's good list this year?
All right. right, let's find that out right now by going to caller number 12. Hello?
Hello?
Caller number 12.
Woo!
Wow, sustained. She had
all
the
right.
Where was the vibrato though? That was awesome. What's your name? Listen to that. I like the sustain and the vibrato. Who's this? Who's this? Who's this?
This is Kimberly Green.
Kimberly Green, congratulations. We're sending you to Dollywood Smoky Mountain Christmas.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank you, thank you.
Now, are you a Dollywood goer? Are you somebody that goes often?
No, I'm not.
No. May I ask why not?
I'm sorry.
No. Hey, hold on. Do not apologize for not going often. We're glad that we can facilitate. But, I mean, you know, Kim goes every 3 weeks, right? About every 4 weeks or so.
I haven't the last couple of years.
Wait, what?
But I have in the past. But Christmas is my... Fall and Christmas are my favorite times.
Fall and Christmas.
Yeah, when the
fall.
When the pumpkins come
sorry.
Out. Not fallen Christmas.
Some archangel or something
no,
has fallen
no.
from the sky. It's fallen
no.
Christmas. Oh, my God.
No.
Well, Christmas is a lovely time of year to go to Dollywood and Dollywood Smoky Mountain.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, so I got a couple of tickets for you, so congratulations. This morning, 11 o'clock, you, Kimberly, don't have a chance to win again, but others do, so make sure you listen. 11 o'clock hour for the same little jingle for you to call back in to win. Call number 12 is how we do it. Kimberly, can you hold the line 1 second, dear, so we can get some information from you?
Yes.
All right, darling. Yes. Hold on.
Okay. I love somebody that excited.
She nailed it. We'll be back on the Mark and Kim show right here on Star 102.1. Star 102.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station. Today, the triumphant return of her versus him, Mark versus Kim. We have everything in place. Hopefully that we can conference and get people on the radio without the fear of dirty words, other than the ones that comes out of Kim's mouth, of course.
Well, you know.
Pervading the broadcast. 7:20 this morning, we've got a $25 gift card to shop at the Carm Christmas store. That's coming up. Her versus him, Mark versus Kim on the way. If I say the words yogurt grandpa to you, does that mean anything?
No.
All right, great. It's impossible to keep track of everyone viral, but we'll talk about the yogurt grandpa next. Baby. Dua Lipa, Star 102.1 with the Mark and Kim show. I'm going to show you a picture here of yogurt granddad. Does this jog a memory or two about this viral grandpa who chowed down on paint thinking that it was his favorite yogurt?
Oh, no.
What's wrong?
It just looks
sad. He didn't die.
No, but he's...
In a world where Kim tells you, go ahead, eat your silica gel packets in your packaging.
But it's not poisoning. Paint. Ooh.
Well...
Paint can't be good for you.
Yogurt grandpa Bobby? Survived the incident.
Well, that's good.
Has now died.
Oh.
It's unfortunate, although I'm surprised you're not laughing by this point in time. Granddad went viral for...
Well, it's not like a car fell on him or something.
A granddad went viral for chowing down on a half of a tub of paint, thinking it was his pot of yogurt. And you know this is an English story because yogurt is spelled with an H.
No.
And I don't mean Hogurt, Ken. Don't get excited. Bobby, 91, from New York, became an overnight sensation when paint around his chops proved that he had been eating on his paint bucket as opposed to his yogurt pot. I guess we have yogurt pots. Although he'll be missed tremendously, he will long live on the internet, says his granddaughter, who made him go viral back in the day when she posted that picture that I just showed you of Bobby, proving, by the way, that old men at some point turn into old women. I don't know if you've...
Yeah, his hair looks a little askew. If you hadn't told me it was a grandpa, I would have thought it was a grandma.
Oh, yes, Roberta.
Yeah.
Grandma Roberta. But tributes have been pouring in for the aptly named paint-eating grandpa as fans around the world have mourned the loss of the retired psychiatrist. I wonder if you need psychiatric help after you've ingested a bunch of paint. Like, does it do something to you mentally? Here's another picture of him holding... Oh, they even went as far as action figures for yogurt grandpa.
He had his own action figure?
He had his own action figure. I'm looking at Bobby holding it now. Mm-hmm. The paint-eating pensioner has now passed away at the age of 91. And not of eating paint, by the way.
Oh.
Not of eating paint.
So that never did hurt him or anything.
No, but he did overdose on a big pack of silica gel that you said to eat yesterday.
That's not poisonous.
No, he passed away.
And I didn't say to eat it.
Because it swelled up in his throat.
Oh, so he choked on it. Mm.
And do you remember Dexatrim? Was it Dexatrim? What was the one that... the diet pill that if you didn't take it with at least 16 ounces of water, it didn't get down in your stomach, and it literally was a sponge that would fill up your stomach.
And it expanded.
That's mm-hmm. what sponges do. And yeah. if you didn't drink enough water, it would get stuck in your throat.
Plenity.
Huh?
Was it called Plenity?
What?
Plentity.
Plentity?
Yes.
I don't remember hearing that.
Hmm. I don't remember that name.
It was a name that, maybe it was Dexatrim, wasn't it?
Dexatrim was Anna Nicole Smith
is the one
but
who
I'm not sure that's the one
it,
that was the actual sponge that expanded in your stomach to make you feel more full.
But they had to put out all these warnings and everything because people could choke.
Yeah. Don't eat anything that could choke you. Wait a minute. That could be everything. Hang on. Don't eat sponges that could expand in your throat. Don't eat silica. Don't eat gel tablets that could expand in your throat. Don't eat the silica gel packets.
They're a choking
hazard. Out of your electronics box. Right. You don't need to eat it.
No.
There's plenty of Jell-O in the world. Go to Utah. The Mormons will give up a box if you ask them nicely. I promise you that.
I don't know.
That's where all the Jell-O... No, don't be harsh.
They like their Jell-O.
I know they do, and they hoard it. I understand that, but still, be careful. Mark and Kim Show on Star 102.1. Star 102.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station with the Mark and Kim Show. Sorry. Fully unprepared for the short G Idol song. All right, here we are. Check 1, 2, 3. We're working. We're on the air. Okay, fine. My affliction is not paying attention to things happening right in front of my face. New technology. I'm like, okay.
So I told you yesterday that my husband told me about something I've been doing for years, apparently, mm-hmm. at night mm-hmm. while I'm asleep, and it's hypnic jerks, and mm-hmm. my hand acts like this spider thing while I'm asleep, and I have no idea I'm doing it. It reaches over, and it's just...
It's like a character from the Addams Family, Kim. Which one?
Well, I said thing, but it's not thing. No, several
no,
people.
No, I appreciate that.
It is thing. I said cousin it. Cousin it is the hairy thing.
You have a hairy
that walks
hand?
Around. I don't.
You have a hairy hand in
I
bed?
I don't. Well. But yeah, suddenly my hand grows hair and it takes over. No.
Wow.
No, it is thing is what my hand acts like, not cousin it.
Okay, fine.
I said cousin it.
So it does weird things, and including...
like it grabs his hair and just, you know, plays with it. And
your husband's
just on his
hair.
Arm and, you know, and just on his chest. And he says he'll wake up and my hand's just doing all this jerky-like stuff. And so I had no idea I was doing it. Just go ahead and get that out of the way.
It's doing jerky-like stuff.
So it's called
And he's complaining?
Jerks. Apparently, I'm not doing my hand jerks where they need to be.
Oh, my God. It's 7:10, Kim.
Well, hypnic jerks is an actual term. And so after we talked about that, we went to the Facebook page and said, what is your weird affliction and how does it affect you? So we got some interesting...
Comments,
yeah. Carmen says, my left eye twitches constantly. Mm. It is so bad, I've often wondered how many people think I'm winking at them.
So Carmen was not hitting on me the other day at the grocery store.
Apparently not.
Damn it, Carmen.
See?
Sorry, Carmen, for what I said after that, dear. I apologize. I was like, hey, I got the hypnic jerk if you want to come over here and see my hand move.
Ba-dum-bum. No.
Uh-huh.
Steven.
I love when she doesn't know that I'm kidding.
I know you're kidding.
Well, what's the noise you made,
though?
Yeah, stop with the noises.
Steven says, my right leg goes crazy and shoots out of the bed.
That's
Is that restless leg?
That's got to be restless leg syndrome, right? Has he been diagnosed?
No, he doesn't say he has. He says it just shoots out of the bed. And he mm-hmm. says it's weird. And he's got the skull and crossbones. Now, you said the other day
Hold on. He's got the skull and crossbones.
He's got the little skull and crossbones icon after his message on there.
Thank you.
He said it's like it's weird. You said the other night, Tyler, that you had restless legs lately.
Yeah. I do. And even when I'm sitting down, like right now, I have to, my legs like move up and down, up and down, up and down. Constantly.
Have you talked to a doctor about that?
Of course not.
Maybe that dude's leg is shooting outside of the bed because someone's hypnic jerk hand is searching for something. Whoa, hang on.
Wait a minute.
I'm supposed to be sleeping alone up in here.
Working in tandem there. Melissa says, I have 2 extra teeth in my sinus cavity.
Yeah, those are called wisdom teeth.
Are they up in your sinus cavity?
They can be, right?
I mean,
I don't know. They don't work themselves down into, you know,
doesn't that hurt?
Eventually, I guess you... Get those removed. Maybe they're not wisdom. Maybe there are other teeth that are just up there, which is, you know, makes your sneezes a little weird, you know? Or can you eat through your nose? Either one.
Ooh. Lauren says, my second and third toe on each foot is webbed, just the 2 of them. I have syndactyly. Syndactyly? That's what she says it is. I was never able to wear toe socks as a kid, and they were really big at that time, and I was devastated.
Yes, but she is the 50-meter record holder in the butterfly. She can just kick and kick and kick to the finish.
Nora says, I have Bell's palsy on my right side, have had for 10 years. I'm about 85% recovered now, which is about as good as it'll ever get.
Mm-hmm.
I have apparent nerve regrowth. The nerves grew back in new and fun ways.
Is this
ways.
An affliction, or are we talking about injuries?
She said this is an affliction.
Okay.
And she goes, I eat something big like a burger and I start tearing up, but only in my right eye. So every time she's eating like anything
right.
big,
right.
it's like she's crying out her right eye.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a few more of these that we can go over after the game. Right. It was really interesting
Share
stuff.
Share those coming up here on Star 102.1.
What happened to Destiny? All right, everybody. It's Star 102.1 with the Mark and Kim show.
She was there all that time.
I know. Hold on, Devin. We got Devin versus Destiny. I'll try to call her butt back right now. Hang on. Let me do this live on the radio. That's what I do.
It's all part of the excitement of having our new board and all the pretty lights shining.
So exciting, Kim.
It is.
So exciting. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Come on, Destiny. Why is the phone not coming through on the radio?
I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Devin was coming through.
Oh, hang on. Destiny, are you there, darling?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. Woo-hoo. Let me comfort you with
Devin.
Devin.
Okay.
Devin, are you there?
I am.
Oh, my God. We have contact, everybody. Yes. All right. And this is, her versus him. Mark versus Kim. As we walk, we're two contestants. Thankfully, one named Destiny, one named Devin. Today, Destiny and Devin are playing the list, and they're playing the list for...
A $25 gift card to shop all things Christmas at the Carm Christmas Store, now open in North Knoxville beside the Knoxville Expo Center. All sales and donations help Knox Area Rescue Ministries provide meals, shelter, and programs to those struggling with homelessness, addiction, and mental illness.
All right, I got a list. I'm going to hand it to Kim. She can try to describe that list to you, Destiny, over 75 seconds. Try to get as many out of 10 as possible. I shouldn't have to say this, but if she's saying words, try not to repeat those words. She's trying not, of course, to give you the words on the list. We'll buzz her if she does, so don't repeat her. Devin, pay attention. At the end of Destiny's round, you get a chance to steal some points if they skipped or ran out of time at the end. Same for you, Destiny, the end of the round with me and Devin. Any questions from either Devin or Destiny about how this game is played, everybody?
No. I'm good.
All right. Kim, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Am I ready?
No list.
Here's the list. On your mark. Get set. Go.
This is the big thing downtown Knoxville with the ball at the top. It was the symbol.
Sunsphere.
Yes. This is when you go out under the big orange glow in the sky and you get too much of it and your skin turns red.
Sunburn.
Yes. This is what you put on your skin to keep from getting...
Sunscreen.
Yes. This is when you get married. Your husband is this to your parents.
Son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. This is, Jesus is this. He is the...
Son of God.
Mm-hmm. This is a type of orange juice. Think about what we've been saying. It's a brand of it.
Sunny D?
Yes, but you have to say the whole last name. What's the D stand for?
Oh, pass.
Okay. This is, in some churches, before the big church, you know, as they call it, you go to this and you have Bible study and you have...
Sunday school.
Yes. This is a what you go out into when the orange thing is glowing in the sky. You step into the... it's not...
Sunlight?
Yes. This is when you don't pass your subjects during the regular...
Okay. All right, Scoremaster Steve.
All right, that's 7 for Destiny, but there's 2 that Devin can steal. That one at
All
the
right.
end, too.
Yes, 2. Devin, go.
Sunny Delight and Summer School.
Yeah, good job.
What does the D stand for? Crack me up. I'm sorry. Current score. Current score. Scoremaster Steve.
That is 7 for Destiny, 2 for Devin.
All right. Kim, you're about to hand me that list. We'll have the same 75 seconds. Of course, Destiny, you can steal points at the end of the round as well. Here we go.
All right, on your mark, get set, go.
Okay, this is not winter, not spring, not summer, and the clothes. Yes, and the clothes you wear for the season is called
fall wear.
another, like inside all of your clothes together, put together, you've got a fall
wardrobe.
Oh, I said,
you said fall.
Oh, even though he'd already said, mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to. Okay, this is another word for sweater. It's a longer sweater. It's got buttons up the front.
Cardigan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, pluralize that. Pluralize.
Cardigan.
Yes. This is Naga hide. Another word for Naga hide. What?
Leather.
Is, yeah, but if it's Naga hide, it's not. It's fake. Another word for fake.
Pleather.
Another word for fake.
Fake
Naga hide is fake. What you said. So it's
final.
Yeah, I need you to use that same word that was the word you used, and then
leather.
Yes, and then the other word for fake is not real.
Faux leather.
I'm gonna have to pass. This is what you wrap around your neck, and it's made from sheep hair, and it keeps you warm in the winter.
Scarf.
Yes. This is back in the 80s. We wore these with our denim. It was made out of denim, and we wore it on our top, and it was for cold weather. Wow. Is that an ass whooping?
Blue jean jacket.
Is that an ass whooping? What's the score?
It is 7 for Destiny, 4 for Devin.
It's over.
Yep.
Over. Fall wardrobe. Once he had said fall, I shouldn't have said fall again. I apologize. I'm incorrect on that. Cardigans, imitation leather. She could have stolen that. Yeah, wool scarf. We still had dark wash jeans, jean jacket. She could have had like 9 or 12. Ankle boots, puffer jacket, over-the-knee boots, and flannel shirt. This is a walk through Kim's closet is what it is. So. Hey, Destiny, congratulations. $25 gift card for you to go over to the Carm Christmas store. Congratulations.
Awesome. Thank you.
7:51 on Starwater 2.1. You got the Mark and Kim show.
I have hypnic jerks that wake my husband up in the night.
Mm-hmm.
My hand going crazy like Thing from the Addams Family.
Right.
We went to the Facebook page. Luann says, my jaw pops when I eat or chew gum.
TMJ.
I'm like a ticking time bomb, she says.
TMJ. That's that flick. She probably needs her jaw broken.
Probably, which sounds awful, but I know people who have had to have that done.
Send her over.
Oh, you're going to take care of it?
We'll work it out. No, Tyler will. He said he's got hand in the relationship. You know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Jen says, I have misophonia, according to Google. We've talked about that before. She can't stand someone making noise when they chew or if they smack their tongue on the roof of their mouth when they pause. Any noise in that ballpark, I literally want to physically harm the person doing it. So it's not really her affliction. It's somebody else when they do.
Well, no, I mean, that's
or something like that.
I mean, well, thanks for doing it for her. Wow, that's Kim, everybody. That's Kim. That's not me. Try not to be annoying. Misophonia is like when, the sounds are amplified to the point where it's big for people with autism.
Oh.
Autism and misophonia are very connected.
Joe says hypnic jerks are no joke. As an amputee, when I remove my prosthetic and lie down, it starts, Lordy mercy.
Well, what starts? What's jerking if there's nothing there?
I don't know. He didn't go into...
If it's his prosthetic leg standing in the corner that starts to jump, get the hell out of the room.
Right.
That would be a problem.
I'd leave.
But I wonder if it's what's actually missing.
It's phantom limb syndrome.
Yeah.
It's phantom limb. He probably feels it moving, and then he looks over and goes, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh,
it's not there. But that leg is dancing like a fool.
That would be strange, wouldn't it?
What, the prosthetic leg dancing on its own?
No, but thinking don't have is moving. Kristen says, centralized tremor in my hand. Only happens when my hand is in a certain position, stops when I stiffen, then relax my muscles.
I like when my wife has that.
Faith says, I get the loudest hiccups, like embarrassingly loud.
Oh, man.
And we had several people who said they do the same thing. And Amanda says, I can't burp.
I read that one. I was like, I felt like calling her, but then we get a lot of dead air. Like, I
want to
put, put on the air. I just like gulp in some air. She goes, okay, I tried. I can't do
but
it.
But she can't do it. Yeah. She says, I can do just barely burps every once in a while, there but I've go. Never been able to really do burps.
Well, you know, then you've missed out on a big thing. As long as she can fart, we're fine, right?
It has to come out somehow.
Well, that's right. Start with a 2.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station with the Mark and Kim Show. Powered by the Uten Law Firm and powered by the greatest Christmas movie of all time.
It's okay, Walter's my father.
Well, your dad's busy right now.
Okay, I'll come back
later. I love
later.
Elf.
Yeah, you know, you're not going to come back for a while, okay? You're going to go back to Santa Land.
Okay.
20th anniversary, 20 years ago.
Can you believe that?
No. We'll talk about whether it is or not the greatest Christmas movie of all time and some little facts you may not know about the movie Elf. Coming up on Star Wars 2.1. I know. Star 102.1, Mark and Kim show. Is Elf the greatest Christmas movie of all time?
No.
No.
You're Santa. What song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar. Just cool it, Zippy. You sit on a throne of lies.
It's a good movie.
Hold on. Excuse me? You're telling me that Elf is not the greatest Christmas movie of all time?
No, it's Christmas Vacation.
It's Christmas Story.
I'll need a poll. I'll need some witnessing from the congregation. 6567827. Am I the only one celebrating the 20th anniversary of what I consider the greatest Christmas movie of all time? Because it's funny.
You really think this is the greatest? I mean, it's good.
It is by far.
It's good. It's good.
The greatest Christmas movie ever made.
There's a lot of Christmas movies. It's hard to choose the greatest.
Will Ferrell, not the first choice to play.
Yeah, you don't like Will Ferrell, usually.
Thank you. Finish the sentence.
Usually.
Yes, in his weirdness of... I've appreciated him being himself as a funny person, mm-hmm. being him, much more than the like old school and the grab you by the lapels and scream at mm-hmm. you that this is funny and you're going to laugh.
He's great in this.
But it is so different in Elf than... It was Will Ferrell playing Elf, but it was a different Will Ferrell. That's why I loved it so much, because it was so good in terms of him being a little different. He was different than any other role he'd been in. Did you know that Buddy's costume was based on the outfits the elves wore in Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Did you know that?
No.
Did you know that? No, probably didn't. Did you?
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
I love that line.
The beef and cheese
beef
line.
Beef and cheese, not Santa.
Buddy was originally a darker character. Director Jon Favreau wasn't really interested in until it was rewritten to be more family-friendly. Christmas Vacation from Mindy. Christmas Vacation from someone who says they haven't given their name. Elf is not the greatest Christmas movie of all time, says Nathan. Die Hard, says Amber, is a Christmas movie. Yes, I agree with it, but it's not the great. Angelica, Elf is the best.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Angelica is Minnie Mark.
What does that even mean?
She's just, you know.
They don't know what they're talking about. That's right, Angelica. They don't know what they're talking about. The best Christmas movie ever is Christmas Vacation, says Haley. Mark is correct, says Leisha, even though she spelled Mark incorrectly. Elf is the greatest movie, says Caden. Melanie, yes, Elf. Christmas Vacation from the 423 area code. Elizabeth, me and my teenage son prefer I'm Jones. Oh, that's our traffic reporter. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
I've got about 5 or 6 great starts here. I got one idea that I'm especially psyched out of my mind about.
I didn't know you had elves working here.
Oh, my God.
You're hilarious, my friend. You're feeling strong, my friend. Call me Elf one more time.
That is great.
He's an angry elf.
You stepped on the punchline, of course, as usual. Other tidbits about the movie, which is, of course, the greatest movie of all time in terms of Christmas. Will Ferrell turned down $30 million to make the sequel.
Really?
Both he and the others on the set didn't think it would do any good the second time.
I think there's
movies that don't need a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell really did, by the way, eat all of the sugar, including the maple syrup-coated spaghetti and candy and those cotton balls that Buddy eats in the doctor's office were actually... undyed cotton candy.
Okay.
So don't get free.
Oh.
Buddy was, Will Ferrell was not the first choice. Jim Carrey was the first choice. He was everything. If there was a comedy movie in the 90s, he was the first choice.
And
right?
He could have pulled it off, but
mm-hmm.
he could have pulled it off. But
sure.
Now that we've seen Will Ferrell, I can't imagine it not being Will Ferrell.
No.
Cliff, come on, Chief. He says A Christmas Story.
Yes.
Joey, Gremlins.
Gremlins?
Nathan, Christmas Vacation. Carol is swimming out to Mark Island on this one. Elf all the way. We'll be showing it, by the way, on the side of the trailer that I live in on Mark Island. Come on out. Carol, you're always invited. Miracle on 54th Street.
Wait
a minute, Michael.
That's the wrong address.
It was some weird miracle on 54th Street. It had nothing to do with... Now I forgot. 34th. Thank you. Scrooge to somebody in the 865. Christmas Vacation is a classic, says Pamela. That doesn't make it the greatest of all time. It is a classic. So yeah, a lot of disparity, but enough votes for me to be happy today. That Elf
in
its 20th anniversary, the greatest Christmas movie of all time. We'll be back on the Mark and Kim Show here on Star 102.1. Star 102.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station, Mark and Kim Show. 11 o'clock hour, 4 o'clock hour. More tickets to Dollywood Smoky Mountain Christmas as we gave them away this morning. We'll give them away again tomorrow morning in the 6 o'clock hour, like we do every day.
A human skull was found in a Florida thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
You've been thrifting.
I have
thrifted. After years.
I have thrifted, yes.
Yeah, you've been thrifting.
I have thrifted, yes.
What am I saying wrong?
I've not been thrifting, which means that's current. I have not thrifted in over 2 years. But yes, I have thrifted, so there you go.
It's been 2 years since you bought one of your cameras?
Yes. At a place where they sell them. Now, do you mean online, like through eBay and stuff like that?
Thrifting is thrifting.
No, buying things on eBay is not thrifting. But I'm sure you'll try to pigeonhole me next on Star 102.1. Usher. Good. Star 102.1. Usher. Star 102.1. Brand new music called Good Good at 8:31 on the Mark and Kim Show. Temperatures peak today before rain chances move in tomorrow. So 81 today, 75 tomorrow, 56 on Friday with a 60% chance we'll see some rain and then stuck at 60 for the entire next week.
So this human skull was found in a Florida thrift store, and that's not even the strangest part to me. It was in the Halloween aisle, which was not odd either, because thrift stores, like any store, has sections. And for Halloween, they had a Halloween section. The odd part to me is that the police were called, as they would be once they realized it was a human skull and wasn't like a play skull or something like that. The odd part is that the sheriff's office said, doesn't appear to be suspicious. Now,
well,
I
have a question. Are you telling me that when you see, like if you're in an anatomy class, mm-hmm. I had one in high school and I took one in college till I dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
they both had skeletons hanging in the corner. Like, okay, I always thought, and I'm fairly certain ours was real. Are they not real?
Sometimes they are because people donate their bodies, their skeletal.
I was always freaked out by it because that's an actual human skeleton I was thinking that I was looking at.
But sometimes,
tell me if I'm wrong.
Sometimes they're not real.
Did you look to Yes Man?
Well, I thought he was going to talk. I didn't want to.
Well, we know better than that.
Sometimes they're not real, but they look real. But sometimes they are real because, you know, my husband's grandmother donated her body to science.
Right. Did they take her skeleton?
Well, her brain, I know, was donated to a particular school and for research, and I'm not sure.
Right, but is her skeleton hanging somewhere?
I don't
know. Like in a classroom at Carnes or something?
I don't know.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Ricky, research if you could look up, are all anatomy class skeletons real or fake? They don't make, I thought they, okay.
I thought they were
forgive
fake,
me,
but made
forgive
like
me.
Real.
I thought they were all real. I kid you not, I thought that's always going to be a real skeleton.
It says many of them are made with real bones. Now, it doesn't, I would assume it'd have to be human bones.
If it's a human skeleton.
Oh, my God.
That's what it
says. Hold on. Remember when you looked at him a minute ago for the answer?
Here you go.
Well, no, I looked to him to be sure I wasn't going to walk
on
him.
The point I'm making is, I guess they have to be human bones. Well, no, they make them out of dog femurs.
This looks like a human bone.
Boil it, we can twist it into a rib. And then it'll soften up. And, oh my God, does it even take milk?
I was waiting on it.
Does it even take milk? And it did while it was human flesh and bone on it.
So detectives came and picked up this human skull.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the skull.
Thrifting.
It wasn't the rest of the body.
Thrifting.
And they looked into it and said, We can't figure out it's not any missing skeleton or anything.
Because if there are real skeletons and skulls in real classrooms that can be really, you know, sold off or donated or stolen or broken or whatever, it's very easy for it to end up at a thrift store. Speaking of thrifting, really quickly, did you hear about, you know, if you can't afford the Taylor Swift tour? What you can go on? Have you heard about this thrifting thing yet?
Oh. Taylor Swift's on her international Eras tour, and it won't be back in the U.S. until next year. In the meantime, there's an artist you can see and afford. It's Taylor Thrift. You'll love her problematic songs.
Why do guys always leave me?
You'll love her love of pets.
I kinda like cats. Cats don't ever leave me.
And you'll hate her boyfriend.
I date a guy on the Cleveland Browns. He's a third stringer. Taylor Thrift. Don't miss her. Live in concert this weekend in the parking lot at the mall.
Oh,
even
great.
Though permission hasn't been granted by the mall.
No, no.
I'm a thrifty. Cheap t-shirts and buddy bracelets will be on sale too. Taylor Thrift. See her while she lasts.
And it won't be long before Travis Kelce's skull is there at that thrift store too. Fox's number one hit music station, Star 102.1. Here we are going to talk bad about somebody. It's what we do. It's what we do on the Mark and Kim Show. You need to see a before and after picture of Zac Efron. And they're claiming, he's claiming that this whole new visage of his, this face, this chin thing, it's just more than a chin thing. Go find for yourself a viral video of the day or viral picture of the day. It's finding a picture of Zac Efron before and after. I don't know if you're all on the same page. I'm on page 6 is the article, and one of the page six article pictures has him in jean shorts cut off, tank top, wife beater style t-shirt, unbelievable muscles, and a head shaped straight from steroids.
Mm-hmm.
He is a roid head now. He claims that he broke his jaw in a home accident where he fell into a granite countertop and shattered his jaw, and he had to have it rebuilt and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah? What happened to your forehead? What happened to the eye sockets? What happened to the rest of your face?
And part of it, he's also said in some of the things that I've seen is that, well, you know, it's all part of this iron claw thing that I've been getting ready for, too.
Iron claw?
It's a role that he's playing. He's like a
wrestler
or something like that.
Is he taking steroids to get the body that is, he's massive right now.
He is.
He's massive right now. It's a lot. I mean, he's bigger than I've ever seen him. I mean, if he's working out for a role to become a big wrestler, I understand that, but don't. It doesn't necessarily affect the shape of your head unless...
No, his head
have,
is...
Right, steroids can do that. They give you a pronounced forehead, like a brow bulge, and your eyes get deeper set, and your jaw changes. I mean, dude.
When I first saw these pictures, the first thing I thought of was the Hulk. You know how the Hulk looked when he hulked out?
Yeah.
I don't mean that to be ugly, but that's just the shape of that is what I thought of, because the pronounced... forehead, that's what it looked like.
When I saw it, I thought it was initially just him having like prosthetics on his face for the role.
Did you say initially?
Yeah.
I love it. You put the what in there?
He's always been such a beautiful man. I mean, when he was younger, teen and everything, he was a good-looking boy.
I'm looking at a picture of him as an adult. He's a beautiful man.
Well, he is. He's always
now
been...
Now he's a roid head.
He's always been so beautiful. And then when he started looking different... with the jawline and everything. At first, before he went into the whole broke his jaw thing or chin or whatever he did with the counter, he said, well, I'm just maturing. And yes, some people do mature and their face changes. Okay. But then
look at Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. this year's sexiest man at 57. God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
Looks exactly the same as he did, other than just age, just a little, you know, grayish hair, and but there's still the same face that he had 25 years ago. So I mean, look, you don't lie, Zach. You would have aged beautifully.
I know.
He looks like Lord Farquaad from Shrek.
Yes,
he does
exactly.
Yes.
Like
yes. Yeah. Pull up a picture of Lord Farquaad.
The way you say initially. I'm afraid of you saying Lord Farquaad. I'm very glad that you gave that correctly. Yeah. That's Doechii on Star 102.1, Knoxville's number one hit music station with the Mark and Kim Show. I was in the DMV, as they call it, up in the District of Columbia, Maryland, Virginia. So I was in my hometown in Washington, D.C. over the weekend.
Oh, so not the Department of Motor Vehicles?
Nope, the DMV.
What happened to you?
No, the DMV, District, Maryland, Virginia, the DMV.
Okay.
And it was so funny, so weird. As we were driving into where we needed to go and then driving out from where we were from on the way back, we crossed two places where evading the law had major significance in our lives. One, we were sitting at an intersection getting ready to take a left turn. I said, oh my God, do you remember like 30 years ago we were at this intersection? We got crashed into by a person running from the police. It was a diplomat, and if you're in the D.C. area, if you've ever been to D.C. or if you're from D.C., you know that diplomats with diplomatic immunity felt and stumped some. It used to be the case that they could get away with anything, and would get away with anything. And it was a diplomat's son that crashed into us while evading the law. And as we were leaving, I said, oh, speaking of evading the law, and I mean leaving the city, we were on Route 66 where tomorrow I will tell you about when I evaded the law as a 17-year-old.
Do I know this story?
You may not know this story.
All this time and I don't know this story?
So you think you know everything about me?
A lot.
Yeah, I know.
A lot.
That's part of the problem. Nonetheless, we'll ask the question tonight on Facebook. Tell us about when you evaded the law. Yes, I evaded the law once. Don't pretend you haven't. You're a thief. You have stolen. But I literally was in
But I never ran from the law.
I think of evading
the law, no. I think of them like chasing after me.
That's my story for tomorrow.
Well, I do have one.
Excuse me? What? Oh, hang on. Is there something I don't know? Is there something you haven't told me? Mm-hmm. We'll have that tomorrow. Look for the Facebook post later this afternoon. Tell us about when you evaded the law from the Mark and Kim Show. All right, we're not only on Facebook, we're on all the social medias, and it's Instagram, it's TikTok, it's Facebook, all Mark and Kim Show, by the way. Don't put the in there. You don't need to. I think you'll find us anyway. But yeah, Mark and Kim Show on Instagram, Mark and Kim Show on TikTok, and Mark and Kim Show on Facebook.
All you people want is more, 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 more.
Kimmy.
More, more.
Email. We got your email. We don't get your email every day, ding dong, but here's some mail today, everybody.
Ding dong.
She was paying attention to half of what I did.
Your mail today.
Yeah, I've already been there.
Oompa, oompa, oompa,
Kim can sing the email jingle, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It is the Mark and Kim Show podcast bonus time. This happened to me. Says the email, and I wondered how Mark would have handled the situation and if he would have done anything differently. The other night, my wife, Tara, and I were out. We pull up to a restaurant and grab a bite. It was packed, but I saw a car with its reverse lights on. They back out of the spot, and I pull in. As we were getting out of the car, another car backs up behind me, and the guy yells out the window, "We had our blinker on. That was our spot." I said, "What are you talking about? I didn't even see you till now." He said that he had passed the spot, but when he saw the car backing out, he put his blinker on. To which I said, "Sorry, buddy, you are ahead of the spot. I didn't see you." To which he replies, "Well, maybe I should block you in, you jerk." I'm changing jerk. I just ignored him and walked inside, but I ask you if you would have done the same thing. So let's get the first part out of the way first. If you have, the only way you back up for a slot that appears behind you is if no one is behind you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you've got the time to back up before the car backs out, which means you're in front of the spot, you're behind the spot, ready to pull into the spot. You've passed it, which means you're beyond the spot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you can back up before that car pulls out of the slot, then you have the rights to it.
Yeah.
But if that car is backing up and there's already somebody else there or pulling up, you cannot back up unless it's a backup spot only. Now, on Gay Street.
Like on that bridge.
Gay Street Bridge is that bridge. South Gay Street Bridge is a, for whatever reason, you can only back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a time that you can pull past and back in.
Yeah.
Okay? Other than that, you may back into a slot, but if it's not required, didn't you ask me that once, why do men, especially in pickup trucks, back into slots? And I told you it's always about the escape?
I did, because it aggravates me to death. I don't know why it aggravates me to death.
Well, you'll have to explain that.
I don't know why it aggravates me to death.
That truck drivers, like pickup truck drivers, back into slots.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Well, okay. I don't back into slots because generally if I back into slots, it's against, let's say, a curb and maybe some bushes or another car is pulled up toward, if I'm backed in and the front, then it's hard for me to back, like open the back door. On the Lexus, it opens like a door. not a lift gate.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it opens like a door, like any other door. So I don't have room if I've backed in.
Yeah.
Okay, and if I go to Costco, I definitely have to open the back door of the truck.
And we all know you love the Costco.
Well, that's the point I'm making, is that I buy too much stuff at Costco, and then, of course, it all goes into the back. So I will pull in first, face first, but I always consider, will I be good enough? Will I be able to make a quick backup if I have to, in case something happens? Because it's all about something happening. You have poo-pooed this idea.
What's
going to
happen?
Kim, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. It's the fact that something can happen. In life, things happen, and a quick escape, like you laugh at this, and then other men have kicked in and said, you know, I do the same thing. You assess a room before you go into it. After you go into it, you look around, you realize, okay, this guy, that guy, this door, this weapon if I need it, you know, you kind of assess. You laugh at that. You think that's some sort of, I don't know, toxic masculinity kicking in.
You were the first guy I'd ever heard say that.
Well, you know, you talk to me, you talk to me more than you talk to anybody else.
Yeah, pretty much.
No. I promise you that you put in more words to me and I put in more words to you any day than you do with anybody else. So I'll be the first to tell you everything.
But even with that, it was, I mean, you know, all the years with my husband, I never heard that.
He's not much of an assess the room kind of guy.
No, he's not. I mean, he is aware, but he's not looking to see who he can fight.
It's not a matter of looking to see. There you go. You've mischaracterized it again, like you normally do. I'm not looking around to see who I can fight. Ooh, I can go fight him. That's not what it is. It's who is dangerous in this room, who looks dangerous in this room, who should you maybe avoid in a situation if it arises, whose back do you want to have if you need to have it, who can help you if you need a backup. There's a lot of things in play. That has nothing to do with, oh, I can go fight that guy. No, that's not a matter of it. It's also a matter of knowing where the escape routes are just in case something bad happens. Like if I'm with someone and I'm a, like, let's say a shooting breaks out in a restaurant. Do you think I'm going to go get involved in the shooting, or am I going to find an exit? Which one do you think I'm going to do?
Be honest. Find an exit, I would
Damn
hope.
Damn right I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I'm packing, okay, and I'm someplace and something's going down, if I've assessed the situation correctly and I can assist it, I will. Absolutely. It's why I carry. Because if I feel endangered or if I see someone else in danger, I have the right to protect myself and protect someone else like that. But yes, you assess. And so backing into a slot is you've assessed the situation and that if you have to get out quickly, you just go.
You have to worry about it. You don't have to reverse and then put it in drive.
Although if you're really trying to go, you just throw it in reverse and smash into the first thing that stops you, turn right or left, and keep on going.
I was going to say, if I'm in danger, I don't know that I'm going to say, oh, well, this person has to go first before I back out.
Yeah, but if you back out in your convertible Mini Cooper, you're just going to go underneath of another car. So you shouldn't fly into anyone's. But here's the thing. So you own that spot. You have claimed that spot to the person that emailed us. You claim that spot. The concern, and this is what you should do from this point forward, is when a guy says, well, maybe I should block you in, means that he is probably all talk, no action, first of all talk, no action, because it's a puss move to try to back into a spot that you've already passed, and you're not backing into it. So he's being a puss.
Yeah.
Secondly, if he says something like, I should block you in, is maybe code for maybe I'll pop your tires. So, because I've seen that happen before. I would do this. You park in the slot. He's yelling at you. You whip out the camera. Okay, well, I'm going to take your picture. I'm going to take a picture of your license plate. And then when my tires are flattened, when I get out here, I'll know exactly who did it, and I'm coming for you.
Or if anything happens, if there's scratches on the car.
I think you know what I mean. Yes, thank you. I'm just saying.
That way.
I'm taking his picture.
So and then, if anything happens, whether he did it or not.
Yes, these are my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. What? I get that.
Are you co-signing them or are you telling me how to be?
No, I'm just thinking that's a good idea.
Yeah, damn right it's a good idea. Because you document any kind of threat at all. You make sure that if, in fact, they can say something like, oh, I'll just block you in. What, are you going to just park your car in the throughway? You're just going to sit there until what? You're like, what does he mean I'm going to block you in? Like, he's going to park in front of you and not let you pull back out? What does that mean? But anytime somebody makes any kind of threat, just grab the camera. Take the picture. Okay, I may not have you saying this, but I know who you are now. And if something happens to my car, scratches or a popped tire or whatever, trust me, I can run your plate and I'm coming to look for you, pal. Huh?
Yeah.
That's it. So that's what you should have done. Thanks for texting or emailing into the station about that. Just an interesting scenario. And you're not a jerk, okay? Maybe I should block you in, you jerk. Not a jerk.
Mm-mm.
All right, let me quiz you this. How much thought do you give your sibling placement in your family?
I'm the oldest, he's the youngest.
Boom.
There's two of us.
That's all there is.
Done.
You don't give a damn one way or the other. Do you like being the big sister, or would you have maybe thought about it would have been nice to be the little sister?
You know, through the years, sometimes it seems like I am the little sister. My brother's more responsible than me, or there were times where he seemed more responsible than me. There were times when, like between marriages, when I had to call my little brother, who's 2 years younger than me, to come help me out with things.
At what age do you stop being a little brother if you're both adults?
Well, I did that in air quotes. You know, I said my little brother to come help me.
My wife is the fourth of four. And one of her siblings has passed. And she's got the two oldest siblings are still alive. The third one passed away, so she's the fourth. From day one as an adult, she has had to be the big sister to everyone. Took care of everything. And maybe because they realized she would, and it continues 38 years later with this woman, that if there's a situation that comes up, there's something needs to be done. If there's at the times that her parents needed care before they died, she was the one involved in getting it set up. She was the lead on everything. She handles everything. And that's the thing about it. She's not a force of personality kind of person. I'm a force of personality kind of person. Okay. Whether you like it or not, my personality is forced upon people. I understand that. She's not that person. And what I mean by force of personality, like I'm generally, I consider myself and I take the role of leader in a lot of situations. She doesn't do that, yet somehow, it has always fallen upon her. And I'm like, you know, you're the little sister. She goes, not with these siblings of mine. And they're not like irresponsible humans. They're not like, you know, drug addicts and drunks that never get along in life. They're, you know, they're responsible humans that have lived a productive life. But when it comes to anything to do with the family, she is just all of a sudden it's on her. So sibling placement with her is completely reversed.
But that doesn't, I don't think sibling placement determines who's responsible for the parents or who's responsible for different things.
Now, back in the day,
it's where your skill sets are.
But if you're talking about line of succession, I mean, you think about even royal line of succession or the way that things were handed down from father to son or mother to daughter, it was always the first in line. So sibling succession and sibling placement has mattered for time immemorial.
In the past.
Well, it still happens.
Well, it may still happen, but I mean, a lot of
who gets named junior? The first kid is usually the junior.
But a lot of times that the next in line, if you will, doesn't care anything about taking over the business, doesn't care anything about doing those things. So if there's another one in line, if you will, that cares about those things and wants those things, that's the one that steps up. Skill sets make a difference too. I mean, a lot of times now, you know, back in the day, if we're going to go back that way, a lot of times the females were not expected to take over the business or to take over the responsibilities of financials and things like that. That's different now. You know, a lot of times you do.
What does your son think of his sibling placement?
He's an only, so
he wishes, he wishes he had one.
Mom, you only
agreed to one. Gee, thanks. Because you know that maternal loving. You know, I've agreed to one.
Yeah, best thing I ever did. But well, you know,
we could debate that too.
Have that one.
It's a whole nother 30-minute bonus podcast. Right there. But 13% of people said they aren't happy with their sibling placement. Does that mean that 87% of people are?
I guess so.
I love this. When you give the smallest percentage of people that aren't happy with their sibling placement, meaning they did not like being the oldest, the youngest, or the only child, my middle child constantly says, oh, it sucks being the middle child.
Why does she think it sucks to be the middle?
Because she's not the big sister. She's always either, she's both a big sister and a little sister.
Yeah.
Okay? But she always feels like she gets short shrift to the oldest one, or she's not as cute and sweet as the little one, and blah, blah. But, you know.
But she's adorable.
Yeah, I understand
that. And she's loving, and she's all the things.
When's the last time you saw her? 10, 15, 20 years ago?
No, it's not been that long.
Says, and if you had siblings, you had moments when you wished you were an only child as well. In a new poll, 13% of people said they weren't happy about their sibling placement. 39% of people liked their situation in the family, and 43% didn't have an opinion. 70% of people said their sibling placement did shape their personality. I can probably tell you that from the time my brother was in kindergarten, God rest his soul, I was getting him out of scrapes. He was always in scrapes. He would cause problems as a five-year-old child, which went right into his teen years, where he always knew, I guess, or felt that, my big brother will take care of it. And he would do things and say things to older kids that ended up getting me in a lot of trouble. I was in more fights probably because of my brother than I was because of the stuff that I was involved in. And as a matter of fact, when we were teenagers, and I was, I guess, 18 at the time, and he was, that puts him at 14 or 15, he got involved in a bit of a crime syndicate in the county I lived. Yes, he was part.
Crime syndicate, that sounds.
Well, okay, people were chop shopping.
Ooh.
Okay, which means he was friends and active in this place that was stealing stuff and then selling parts off.
Wow.
And somebody claimed that he had stolen from the people that were stealing stuff, and I just happened to be there. He thought he was going there to pick up a check or something, or cash or whatever, and they physically attacked him.
Oh, my gosh.
And I had to get in. I had to get in there and fight for him. You know, ended up with a bloody nose and a black eye, and, you know, and luckily was able to get away before I got killed. But this kid was getting me in scrape after scrape. So my personality probably developed early. So if he's five, I was nine at that time. And if he was in sixth grade, I had to come to his elementary school a lot of times to get him out of problems because it was close enough to do that. It was just, wow. So my personality probably developed because of the fact that he was such a problem.
Yeah, I had to take care of him.
Oh, my God, all the time. The poll also asked about people's ideal placement, and maybe the most interesting thing is how balanced it was. 11% said they'd want to be the only child. 21% said they'd want to be the oldest. 19% said they'd want to be a middle child. And 18% said they want to be the youngest.
Well, how do you feel about your placement?
I mean, I'm the oldest. I'm the oldest. There's only two of us. Now there's only one of us. So I'm the oldest and the youngest now. I think that whether it came from acting out for my brother as a youth, that gave me, I don't want to say leadership qualities. I just, someone who probably, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying not to say like, well, I'm a leader, because I'm, you know, I will, letting me hang out here. Help me out.
Well, no, I don't know. I think you probably honed your leadership skills from having to step in and protect your brother and stand up like that.
I've developed leadership skills from just such a, I mean, I'm a Leo, and Leos are leaders. It sounds too braggadocious for me to say, well, I'm a leader. And people follow me, and it's hard to describe myself in that way.
Like you were forced into that leadership role.
No, I've done things that have always been like, you know, I'm the lead, if you will, of this morning show. I've never been somebody I've never followed.
But
does that make sense? If I don't follow, does that make me a leader? Okay, maybe that's the best way to put it. I've never been a follower. So I don't know if that inherently means I'm a leader per se.
But the interesting thing about that is, yes, you're the lead in here, but when you're not around, I'm a leader.
So have I somehow usurped your leadership?
No, I don't mean that. It's just that everybody can't be a leader in the room. I mean, you know,
right.
It's like...
Is there any resentment there?
No. No. Because I lead
another... You should have seen the face
she made. No. Well, that was my... I'm thinking about that. I lead in other places. I mean, I have places where I lead. I mean, we can't both lead in here. We can both be leaders, but there has to be a leader. You know, somebody has to acquiesce, you know, and there's certain things that I lead on in this, mm-hmm. on the show,
yeah.
and in positions, if you will.
Sure.
But, you know.
Like I couldn't, this is my personality. I'm just telling you the truth. I couldn't be the second, if you will, on show.
You couldn't do that.
I couldn't.
No.
I mean, I couldn't, it's just not me. I need to be driving the car. I almost feel like I'm describing this as a character flaw.
I don't think it's a character flaw. I think you have to be, I think everybody has to be realistic about where they are. There's certain places that I would have a hard time following. You know, there's
what
certain
do you mean places. What do you mean?
Well, in certain roles, there's places that I would have a hard time following. Like if there's certain events, there's certain things that I do that I would have a hard time following. I take charge and I lead
okay.
those.
Yes,
and I'm,
there's a good word for it then.
You know,
I'm not afraid to take charge, and I will take charge. I don't wonder if someone is going to take charge. If no one's taking charge, I will take charge from in any situation that I'm in. I'm glad you said that, because that actually and people look at that and I think they can sneer at that. I think that, you know, like give an example. My wife and I have had arguments before about why I have to get involved all the time. Like, why can't you just let anything go?
Yeah.
And we've had those arguments. We've had it, and in not a debilitating to the relationship kind of argument, but certainly it's like, you know, why are you the one to say something?
Yeah.
Why are you the one to do something? Why, when an accident happens, why can't you just drive by like anybody else? Why do you have to get out and either like help at the scene or direct traffic? And and maybe that's the fight or flight thing, because she flees. She's a fleer. She would flee our children in an emergency situation. The greatest one ever is I snuck around the side of the house and came into through the basement and up the stairs to scare them as a goof.
Mm-hmm.
And they all freaked out. And my wife ran out the back door of the house as opposed to protecting her children. Okay? So fight or flight response might have something to do with why you take charge. I would take charge. I would say something because I'm an empath. I'm somebody that feels others' pain or what they're experiencing,
mm-hmm.
and wants to rectify a situation that I believe needs to be rectified. Like if I see somebody being abused or spoken to, I got an email just recently. I mean, just recently, reminding me of a situation that was taking place at my old cell phone store. I was at the old Sprint store over here in Dean Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was being berated by a man. The woman who was working at the store was being berated and calling. And I stepped in. I said, really politely at first, I said, none of this needs to happen. You need to calm down. And you're not going to treat her this way. And then he turned on me. And he said some things to me, which then brought out the man in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it in no uncertain terms that he's made a mistake now. And that unless he leaves the store, I'm going to take it as a personal affront. These are words that I didn't use.
I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And needless to say, it was a bit of a showdown in the store, and he left. He left because I truly just threatened to whip his ass on the spot. I got an email from that woman just recently. She's like, I don't know if you remember me or not, but you know, it was
like, how could you forget that? You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes some people, you know, I'm sure you've forgotten plenty of things that have happened in your life as well. But it was nice to hear from somebody like that.
Yeah.
And so that's a take charge situation. To which I told my wife, "Can you believe what happened today?" And she goes, "But why you?" I mean, she's so afraid that I'm going to get shot in a situation, that someone's going to kill me.
But that's part of her, you know, fight or flight.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, she doesn't understand how, because she is not that person who would step in. She would just walk away.
You know? There's a TikTok.
And that's not a bad thing necessarily.
There's a TikTok trend. You should go find this, because this angers me. And I shouldn't say trend. It's a series of videos where that anger me so badly. And it makes me wonder what's wrong with people? Even though we're not allowed to ask that question anymore because everything is wrong with people.
We quit asking that several years ago.
It's kind of hidden video of a person walking downstairs, and they've got a cane for a sightless person, mm-hmm. and black sunglasses. And they come up behind somebody that's also walking down the stairs, and they gently take their hand, the blind person takes their hand, and puts it like in the hand of the person walking down the stairs.
Okay.
As in, I need assistance. You're walking down the stairs. I'm feeling for your hand. And these people recoil. And they look at him, and they can tell, because he's got the cane, the pole, whatever
so
you want to call
obvious
it.
It's obvious that he's
blind. It's obvious. Yeah. He's got glasses on. Okay. He's got the cane. He's slowly working down the stairs. He reaches out to grab someone. Not in a violent way. Not in a... It's just like he just... And not every time. What's beautiful about it is that every once in a while, even though somebody might recoil when they first get touched, then they look and they realize the situation, then they grab the hand or the elbow of the blind person and they help them down the
of
stairs.
Course.
Now, this person isn't really blind. This is just a test.
It's an experiment.
It's an experiment. And more often than not, find this for yourself. It is a TikTok video, not a trend, but a video series of this guy. There's two separate people that I've seen do it, one black guy and one white guy. And I don't know if they're doing it like in conjunction, like will more people help the white guy than the black guy? I don't know if it's a racial experiment. I'm not sure exactly, but I've just seen them both from time to time. To watch people literally ignore someone in need and walk away and not want to help them when it's obvious, okay, this is a blind person trying to navigate stairs and that could be perilous for them. You should see this. I mean, just type in and look for it for yourself. Blind man assistance or denied assistance or whatever. And you'll see these videos on TikTok or YouTube. It's remarkable. And so I would much rather be the person that's over-involved than not involved.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I won't err on the side of caution. I don't think I've ever in my life erred on the side of caution. I will err on the side of, I've done too much. I tried too hard. And so be it. Slap my hand or whatever the case may be. But I'm certainly not going to be the person you catch on video ignoring the blind man trying to get down the stairs when he reached out and he touched my elbow or he put his hand in mine.
Exactly.
Yeah. I may record, what the hell? Oh,
because anytime somebody touches you from behind or something, of course you're
going
to be
going on?
And they've done it with men.
But then once you realize, you're going to help.
And I can understand. If it's a man touching a woman in public and the woman like recoils from that, And doesn't, like, I can understand how frightened a woman can be in public concerning a man. I absolutely, but watching the men do it, I mean, I want to fight them. I want to, like, jump in the video screen and beat the shit out of them for doing that because how dare you make somebody navigate stairs that obviously can't see the stairs. They can, but for this experiment,
but they don't know that.
People who are recoiling
and staying that way. But that kind of goes back to you. You're always talking with me about how do you get involved in these conversations with people that you don't know in the cleaning aisle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of look at that like a lot of times it is older people. And a lot of times it starts with, well, she always did this. And she is their wife who has passed away or who can no longer do the shopping or something like that. And
I'm
feel
not referring
like,
to the little old people that engage you in conversation when you get into your Tennessee
talk. But that's
talk.
Who it happens with a lot
I
of
I watch
times.
You at events where you lock in with one human, old, young, doesn't matter, and you will not break away from a conversation that I'll listen in on is like going nowhere. I'm
but
like,
I will. It's Tennessee okay, talk,
but
and I will.
I understand,
that, I
but
like
that's not That's not ignoring someone who needs to literally talk to somebody. It's like I'm fascinated, if that's the best word to use for it, the desire you have or the ability or the inability to break away or the ability to just continue to talk.
Well, I could break away if I need to. But I just feel like there's people who apparently need that, you know?
You need that.
But at an event,
I think you're the person that needs that. I don't blame, it on other people. I think you need
it. Oh, I love human contact.
I think you
But what I'm talking, it's different at an event that we're at than just out in public.
Yeah, but when you've
I
got,
will talk to anybody
but
who
comes
up and
But there's a thousand other people that you could be saying hi to and talking to. And
I will do that too. Mm. I mean, I will do that.
I'm giving, the last example was watching you at the Halloween trick-or-treat trail where you, for 20 minutes, you talked to one person. Did you see the same thing?
I saw it, yes, but I don't know if we're talking about the same person.
I asked him first. He may not have seen it, but he agreed with me because he is the
But I also went
yes
through
man.
The entire line and talked to everybody in that line that was waiting to start the trick-or-treat trail.
I know plenty of children went away weeping because they couldn't have their time with Kimberly Renee Hansen.
No,
so.
I doubt that.
So
but
take charge versus being a leader because leaders, like, I think people will raise you to leadership. I'm bothered when somebody says, well, I'm a leader. Well, I think being somebody that takes charge kind of foments the whole leadership thing. Like, you're not afraid to take charge. I think that's the managerial quality that you see in a good boss. They're not afraid to take charge and then lead by example. That's the other thing. Lead by example. Do, and then other people will do if they see you doing. And that's probably why I've never become a manager. No, it's just a good thing for, like the manager we had for 20 years here was somebody that led by example.
Yeah.
He led, you know, a life of hard work and desire to do the best thing in the best situation. And he did. And we followed that lead to our success for 20 years.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, he's a great leader. And we've also worked for others who are not great leaders, who just somehow got the role of doing what they did and had to manage people and things and
somehow stumble along.
And stumble is the word. And so it's interesting to watch people who do take charge, people who lead versus those who don't, and whether that has anything to do with sibling placement is another story altogether. That's going to wrap it for us. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.